platforms, well, rest assured, there's a link in the description that takes you to the video format of this podcast interview. Now, let's get on with our special guest.
Let's get right into it. Listen, a lot of times what gives me the accreditation, if you will, and the representation.
Hello, I'm the host of Wild Podcast. My name is Darshawn, man. And it's going down like this.
Big Red helps me around the house. My dream car happens to be a 13 Tundra. What's yours?
Anything else you got to say? Any words of maybe encouragement or words of hope?
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Darshawn McAway. You're tuned in to Wild Podcast.me. That's WOWPODCST.ME. And we have a very special guest. Let me tell you something. I've been waiting on this interview for a long time, and I got a bunch of questions, and I hope she can answer them. We have Angela Van Bremen coming on to the show. Angela, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for asking. And how about you?
I'm doing great. So you have your book coming out, Past Life's Revenge. Give me a brief synopsis of what that book is about.
Well, it's about a young man. His name is David Harris, and he's had horrible nightmares or visions his entire life. And he really doesn't understand why. His parents were very worried when he was a kid. They went away for a while, but then when he got to his late 20s, they started up again. And unfortunately, he's received no help. So he meets a lovely young lady. Her name is Emma Jackson, and she's a psychic. And she has a feeling, a sense, that this is a problem that's stemming not from some childhood trauma, which all the doctors are saying it's from, but maybe something that happened before in a previous life. So David does undergo a series of past life regressions, and during that, it's revealed to him that he was murdered in his past life. And this is why he has so much trouble in this particular lifetime. So what happens is he finds out that he was only murdered about 30 years before, which means that the killer is still alive. So David can't rest until he finds justice for the killer of his former self.
All right. So tell me, how did you come into this story? Like, were you, did you have a daydream? Like, fill me in.
Well, I grew up in a household that was surrounded by psychics and mediums. And so for us, the idea of past lives was a very natural one. But I always thought it would be a kind of a cool idea to say, well, what if he was murdered? And what if he reincarnated really soon after he was murdered? And what if the killer is still alive? So that's kind of the daydreaming that I had from these ideas.
Okay, so tell me this. What type of upbringing did you have?
What type of upbringing? It was glorious. We grew up in the country and on about 8 acres. And so imagination was really important because there weren't a lot of kids my age to play with, because basically, you know, the kid closest to my age was about 6 miles away. So you don't just go out and play with your friends. So you develop a world of imagination. So my imagination stemmed from walks in the forest and, you know, sitting by the river and just imagining things. Myself and my sister, we were playmates, basically.
And gotcha. So how many books have you published so far?
Well, this is my first one. I usually write poetry, but for some reason, I decided that I wanted to delve into a different area. And so I started writing this book. I must admit, I started writing this book when I was in my 20s. And then life got in the way. I got busy and met my husband. We've been married now for 35 years. And, you know, just got busy. But I would have this manuscript in the drawer, and every so often cleaning things up, I'd see it and I'd think, really? Nah. And then I'd put it back in the drawer. And then one day I took it out last year and I thought, why don't you at least read it? And I started reading through it and I realized, oh, this isn't so bad. I mean, obviously I'd like to fix certain, you know, wording and use an awful lot of adverbs in those days, stuff like that. But I really got interested and I realized I'd only finished half of it. So then it was kind of exciting to rewrite the first part. And then somehow the second part just kept flowing. And I had a ball writing it. It was so much fun. And I'm actually on the second book already, which is a sequel.
So how did you go from poetry to murder nonfiction fiction?
To fiction from, well, I love words. And I've always felt that poetry is like painting with words. And so the most interesting challenge that I had was not using, like when you're doing poetry, it's basically very succinct. You can say a lot with just a few words, which is why I call it painting with words. When it comes to prose, it's a bit of a different approach where you have to embellish a little bit more and think about dialogue and think about scene settings. Well, you do with poetry as well. So it was a natural extension. And besides, when you're writing prose, there's a certain cadence to it. So there's a certain rhythm, whether you're writing poetry or whether you're writing prose. So it seemed natural. It seemed like a natural development.
So tell me, how did you get yourself to sink into past life's revenge? Like it's a murder thriller, murder mystery. Like how do you take yourself there as a writer?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I believe I really felt for the characters for an awfully long time. So it was percolating for me a long time. And I felt like I already knew David Harris and I already knew Emma Jackson. And so for me, it felt like, well, what adventures can they get into? And it just seemed like a natural succession. It really just flowed. It wasn't like I had to think about getting into the story. The story was, I don't want to say it was just there, because obviously there's work involved and there is plotting involved. And I firmly believe in having sort of a game plan on where you're going when you're writing, but somehow it flowed. Somehow it's just a story that needed to be told.
I love it. I love it. I was always curious about anyone who writes a nonfiction or fiction book about murder. Let me say this. Did you have to do any therapy to get yourself over writing your book?
No, I didn't need any therapy, but there were a few chapters that I wrote, and afterwards I thought, oh my God, I feel a little scared. And it was as if, and then when I read it again, I thought, well, no, this fits, this works. And then I thought, well, my friends, they're going to think, how is she writing this? She's not like that. And then I thought, well, okay, but this is what the story needs. This is where this has to be in the story. So I spend a fair bit of time on how vicious the killer is. And one of my friends said to me, well, Angela, you're such a nice person. How could you write that? And I said, well, it belongs there because people need to understand the character and how evil he is and how ruthless he is. So I felt it was in keeping with the story.
Okay, so here's the thing. So let's stay right there. Let's talk about how do you keep yourself there as a skilled writer, not to take yourself into therapy, but to finish the story. Like, how do you do that? How can you teach another writer who wants to do mystery murders or thrillers to stay like where they are in their lives and not to let it spill over into therapy?
Wow, that's such an interesting question. I suppose that as invested as I was in the story, I know that it's still just a story. If you follow what I mean, like you have to separate that because otherwise you probably would need therapy. But I think that if you can still, I mean, it's the same as if you were watching a movie. So let's say I'm not an author now, but I'm just watching a movie. I'm engaged in a movie or I'm engaged in a really exciting, fast-paced book. If it gets really scary, I'll put it down for a while and I'll come back to it. But the reminder is, remember, this is just a story. And not to, You have to separate it out because actually I'm quite a nervous watcher of my husband likes sometimes to watch these really scary things. So it's kind of funny that I would write such a scary story or read scary stories, but put them on the television screen or on the movie screen and I go to pieces.
Right.
So, but I know that you have to separate out what is real and what is not real at the same time, wanting to keep your story as real as possible. So right. you just so have to separate yourself a little bit if it gets too intense.
So let's talk about the silver screen. So are you wanting to have a TV series? Like, what's your goals?
Oh, I don't have, I mean, gosh, I just want to, the book comes out on July 9th. So I think I'm just focused on, will people like the book, promote the book, you know, do things in baby steps, obviously. But wouldn't that be cool if people thought it was interesting enough to make it into a series or into a movie? But you know, honestly, that's down the road if I would be so blessed with such a thing.
Absolutely. So you have you're a singer. You're a singer, but are you a writer singer? Like, which one are you? You sing or you write and you sing?
I find it hard to separate those two. This is so part of my identity and my soul that I don't think I could say I'm just a singer or I'm predominantly a singer. I mean, if I don't sing at least a few times a day, then I really miss it because it's so part of my soul. So even if I'm going to the garden or walking or just getting mail from the mailbox, because I still live in the country, even if that were, I have to, like, I just have to sing otherwise. So if I get laryngitis or if I get sick with something like a bronchitis, which happens once in a while, I'm so depressed until I can start singing again. So, but the singing and the writing, especially the poetry part of it, are so intermingled for me that I really don't think I could separate the two. My identity is both things.
I got you. So you have a song coming out, In the Breeze. When is that going to be released?
It's an album and there's 11 songs on it and it's Celtic inspired because I just love Celtic music. But three are originals, which I'm very excited about, and they are based on my poetry. So the first one is called I Will Be in the Breeze, which is, you can see where the title of the album comes from. And it was a poem I wrote in memory of my mom and a very dear friend of mine, Rina Velcour. She read the poem and she loved it so much. She says, I'm putting this to music. I hear your voice in this poetry, not just as you reading it, but as you singing it. So I said, oh, I'm honored. That would be amazing. So it's very contemporary. It's avant-garde, but it's a really beautiful piece of music. And it's a challenging piece of music, which I absolutely love. So it shows a really interesting range, vocal range for me. The second song happened in a really cool way as well. It's called Do You Hear the Drums? And I have a lovely friend named Casey Cole, who is a terrific musician, but his day job, his business actually, is painting houses. But one day he came over and he said, Angela, you got to hear this new instrument. It's a hand pan drum. I said, oh, really? I'm intrigued. So he started playing it. And oh my goodness, it was beautiful. It's like a steel drum, but it sits on your lap. And it's in D minor and it's got 10 notes along the top of this instrument. He started playing this drum and I started singing and words just came with the melody I started singing. So that developed into Do You Hear the Drums? And that's an original on the album as well. The third one, I belong to a writer's group called The Wordsmiths in Alliston, Ontario. And we had a challenge during COVID to write a song about the sea. And I love sea shanties. So I thought, well, a subject about the sea, I'm going to write a sea shanty. So I wrote this sea shanty. The words, as I was writing down the words, the melody was coming to me at the same time. So that was pretty much a form song already. And so those are my three originals on the album. The rest are traditional Celtic pieces, but they have beautiful interpretations. And I was blessed to work with a wonderful musician by the name of Mars Giamarco, who produced it under Red Egg Studio, and also Cynthia Fox Huchili, who's my vocal coach, and also Jason Wilson, who is a fantastic musician who does a combination of reggae and Celtic music. It is absolutely phenomenal, the talent of all these people. So I'm very blessed to have known these individuals and for them to have worked together with me on the CD.
Absolutely. So let's tell everyone where they can find you on social media, your website, and anything you have coming up.
Okay. Well, the CD is actually going to be released on Tuesday, and you can find it on Amazon. You can find it on Apple. You can find it on Spotify. So look for In the Breeze by Angela Van Bremen. The book is already available for pre-sale, and you can go to Amazon and Google Angela Van Bremen and Past Life's Revenge. My website is probably the easiest way to find me. It's my name, angelavanbremen.ca being for Canada. And you can also find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook just by typing in my name. And if you're more interested about my music, you can type in Wild Songbird. And I also have a website called wildsongbird.ca.
Angela, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. I'm so thankful to know you and to read your stories. Thank you for coming by Wild Podcast. I appreciate you so much.
It was a great pleasure. Thank you so much. You're a wonderful host. And I had a lot of fun talking about my passions of writing and of my music.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.